Joining SAP Hello Nerds, a coastal science podcast. I'm your host, Corinne.
And I'm your host, Brittany. And we work at the National Estuarine Research Reserve, or NEAR, on Sapelo Island, a Georgia barrier island.
Have you visited the Georgia coast and fallen in love?
Did you come here to look for wildlife?
Do you wake up every morning hoping to answer questions online?
Then do we have the thing for you!
Check out the link in our show notes to access the Georgia Coastal Wildlife Economic Survey.
It'll only take about 5 minutes, hardly any time at all. And you can even complete it while you listen to this episode. I promise we won't be offended.
You know, Corinne, sometimes I wish our water wasn't quite so murky whenever we go looking on the beach so we can see more wildlife. I know the murkiness is amazing for our marine life, but I hear all the time from people who say it'd be really great if we had some cool corals to see through the clear blue water.
Well, lucky for them, we do have some corals nearby, and the water's usually a little clearer near them, too. It's only about 19 nautical miles east of Sapelo, and it's a national marine sanctuary full of corals, sponges, fish, and other invertebrates.
That's right! How could I forget about Gray's Reef National Marine Sanctuary?
I don't know. I mean, it's been a sanctuary since 1981, and it's one of only 15 national marine sanctuaries.
And I hear that there's three more proposed sanctuaries. The National Marine Sanctuaries are actually kind of a sister program to our National Estuarine Research Reserves. Or maybe like an aunt? The NEARs are under the Office of Coastal Management, which is under the National Ocean Service. And the sanctuaries operate in their own National Marine Sanctuaries program alongside NOS under NOAA.
Sure. Yeah, totally followed that. It's not confusing at all.
Okay, maybe a little, but basically the National Marine Sanctuaries are underwater parks in ocean and Great Lake environments with extraordinary biodiversity, beautiful scenery, cultural heritage, and economic opportunity. All sanctuaries emphasize resource protection and decision-making based on best available scientific and socioeconomic data.
We've talked a lot about the law that started the NEARs, the Coastal Zone Management Act, but sanctuaries like Gray's Reef started to form after the National Marine Sanctuaries Act was signed. In, guess what, the same year as the Coastal Zone Management Act in 1972. As for Gray's Reef, its mission is to identify, protect, conserve, and enhance the natural and cultural resources, values, and qualities of the sanctuary for current and future generations. The vision is that Gray's Reef National Marine Sanctuary will continue to be an area teeming with a diversity and abundance of marine life supported by healthy habitats in clean ocean waters.
Yeah, Gray's Reef is a 22 square mile live bottom ocean sanctuary, which while we typically think of sandy or soft bottom areas for our coast, live bottom ecosystems cover about an area the size of Rhode Island or 2.6% of the South Atlantic Bight. These ecosystems are between 10 to 200 meters in depth. Gray's Reef is only 2.2% of the total live bottom habitat in the South Atlantic Bight. And ground truthing to see exact areas and the retention of these areas over time is a big part of the science conducted at Gray's Reef. And it's actually named after Milton Sam Gray, who was UGAMI, or the University of Georgia's Marine Institute's curator and biological collector when it first opened back in 1953. For those that don't already know, UGAMI is actually on Sapelo Island in the National Estuarine Research Reserve. It wasn't until 1961 that Sam Gray found the area locals call Sapelo Live Bottom, now known as Gray's Reef National Marine Sanctuary. Sam spent a lot of time studying the invertebrate communities in this area.
And 20 years later, President Jimmy Carter approved the Georgia DNR's nomination of Gray's Reef as a National Marine Sanctuary in 1981. The fourth sanctuary designated. Scientific studies on the reef have found over 200 species of fish utilize Gray's Reef, including cobia, red drum, southern flounder, the endangered Atlantic sturgeon, and at least 11 species of shark. One reason scientists believe Gray's Reef is so important is that it acts as a migratory stopover point, much like our barrier islands serve as a pathway for migrating birds.
And since Gray's Reef has a ton of sessile or attached organisms and corals, there's lots of habitat and food available for small fish and invertebrates. If there's small fish and invertebrates, well, then those attract larger fish, and those attract larger fish, and so on until we reach the apex predators of sharks. And although sharks and other large fish may not stay at Gray's Reef year-round, they still need to find food when they're migrating. Since the reef attracts so many prey items, it's easier for a predator to catch some food rather than hoping to find something in the open ocean.
And in 2019, researchers at Gray's Reef released a report of 10 years of data using acoustic telemetry to study how migrating fish use the sanctuary.
Acoustic, like podcast sound?
Sure, that's right. Acoustic telemetry is a pretty common tool in tracking marine organisms. Scientists will place an acoustic transmitter, or tag, on or in an individual animal. Each tag gives off unique sound pulses that are picked up by receivers whenever they're nearby. This way we can tell where a particular individual animal travels, and when it does.
Oh, that sounds familiar. Adam McKinnon, our education coordinator here at Signer, and a team of other DNR staff and scientists put these acoustic tags on sea turtles in the early 2000s to better understand where they go, right?
Yeah, and the recent study at Gray's Reef actually detected a couple of tagged loggerhead sea turtles. But scientists were mainly focused on fish to see if the sanctuary is an important landmark or stopping point during migrations. Some of the tagged species did show some distinct seasonality that matches migratory behavior. For example, Atlantic sturgeon, white sharks, and black-tip sharks were detected in winter and spring, while bull sharks were detected mostly in summer and fall.
That's super cool. And research like this never stops. Even though a report was released, it doesn't necessarily mean the research is over. In fact, research has expanded at Gray's Reef since the acoustic telemetry project started. In 2011, about one-third of the sanctuary was marked as strictly research area, off-limits to fishing, diving, or even stopping a boat within this area.
As we mentioned, the National Marine Sanctuaries are designated for cultural and economic significance, which includes recreational fishing and diving. The largest section of Gray's Reef still allows visitors to explore, but it's important to learn how humans impact even protected areas.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the research area at Gray's Reef is trying to understand. How are humans impacting the reef compared to the protected areas that are changing just through their natural processes? These designated spaces experience changes due to predation, competition, climate change, and storms, to just name a few. This natural change is more apparent than if fishing was allowed in the area.
And since so many of the world's reefs are at risk due to climate change and the associated ocean acidification, it's important to understand how these natural processes are impacting areas right off the Georgia coast, and ultimately, how these processes can impact fishing opportunities and other human interests long term.
Yeah, this is so important, especially since the research is happening right off the coast of our island. So, Corinne, have you ever been to Gray's Reef?
I wish, but I'm not a big fisherman, or fisherwoman, I guess, and I'm not dive certified. How about you?
I have fished there before, but what I really want is to dive the reef. I'm a certified rescue diver, but I haven't made out to Gray's Reef yet. Hopefully someday.
So what about people like me, locked on land? Do we have options to learn more about Georgia's only National Marine Sanctuary?
Well, I can answer that.
Oh, yeah! Welcome, Mary! Our guest today is Mary Quinn, the Education and Outreach Specialist. This is the perfect question for you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Well, we love to jokingly call Gray's Reef Georgia's hidden treasure. There are a lot of places to learn about it, and we would love to give you some more information.
So, Mary, most people think of Finding Nemo when they think of a reef, but can you describe what Gray's Reef is actually like?
Gray's Reef is a little unique in that instead of the amazing structure and habitat being built by living coral, they're actually rocky structures that were already there that are covered in a living carpet of invertebrates or animals without a backbone. So it's gorgeous, it's colorful, it's covered in sponges and tunicates and, yes, corals. Researchers have actually found over 900 species of invertebrates at Gray's Reef. And we know that not everyone can go out and dive this incredible wonderland underwater. So we do have virtual dive programs available at our Ocean Discovery Center so that anyone can take a 3D tour of Gray's Reef without having to get their feet wet. Our amazing outreach specialist, Ben Pruitt, has also put together a set of traveling exhibits that currently live in public libraries throughout Georgia, in Springfield, the Islands Library, Oglethorpe Mall, Garden City, and Hinesville, and include a lot of great information and pictures on Gray's Reef. If you're looking to see some of the incredible species at Gray's Reef Live, the UGA Aquarium on Skidaway has a Gray's Reef exhibit as well, featuring a lot of the critters that we love about Gray's Reef. If you're closer to Atlanta, the Georgia Aquarium recently unveiled a feature exhibit on Gray's Reef and the National Marine Sanctuary System as well. And I believe you have an exhibit here on Gray's Reef as well.
That's right. We do have an exhibit in our visitor center. And anybody can check that out too. Just stop in and say hello to Bill, Stacy, and Robert to learn a little bit about Gray's Reef at the mainland Sapelo Island Visitor Center near Darien, Georgia. And didn't a new center just open in downtown Savannah too?
We did just open our Ocean Discovery Center. It's a brand new visitor center for Gray's Reef. So anyone can come in and learn about our local treasure. We are opening in phases, so we will be growing a lot over the next year, but it is definitely worth a visit. Like I said before, we have virtual dives, we have games, we have a lot of information, and an amazing gift store run by our partners, the Coastal Heritage Society.
That sounds amazing. I'll definitely have to stop by. What are the center's hours? Is there an admission fee, and what type of programs are you guys planning?
We are totally free to the public with no admission fee, and we are open from Thursday to Saturday from 10 to 4 right now. Right now, as we are growing still, we only have private tours and field trips booked, but if you check out our Facebook at NOAA Gray's Reef National Marine Sanctuary, we will always post when we have our free community events at the center. One thing we have in the works right now is a monthly recurring trash to treasure workshop where we take common trash and show how to recycle it into art and treasure to keep it out of our oceans.
That's awesome! Trash to treasure programs are a great way to reduce problematic marine debris, and we'll definitely share a link to your Facebook page in our show notes. Hopefully, I can visit during my next trip to Savannah. So, Mary, what is your favorite thing about Gray's Reef?
I would say my absolute favorite part of Gray's Reef is the unique and sometimes weird creatures that live there, specifically sea slugs, which are an unknown treasure, and I love them. Our unofficial mascot are nudibranchs, which is a type of sea slug, and especially the royal sea goddess nudibranch, which is so cute and has this very vibrant purple-yellow coloration.
Yeah, sea slugs are so cool. So many species are absolutely gorgeous. For our listeners, sea slugs are from the order Nudibranchia, which is why scientists often refer to them as nudibranchs. Mary, since we want to protect all of the organisms at Gray's Reef, can you tell us what the biggest risks or dangers are to the organisms that inhabit Gray's Reef?
So, Gray's Reef is under the same threats that a lot of the ocean is, unfortunately. Marine debris and water pollution are some of our greatest concerns, especially ghost fishing nets, plastic in the ocean, things that our creatures can eat or get tangled in, from our very small creatures to our very big, very famous North Atlantic right whales that use Gray's Reef as a calving ground. We also are concerned about ocean acidification and the overarching concern of climate change with rising ocean temperatures.
Ah, yes, those issues do sound familiar since they're causing so many problems to habitats around the world. Is there anything people can do to help or get involved with the sanctuary?
One thing that people don't always realize is that Gray's Reef is directly connected to our water here, even though it is 20 miles offshore. And a study showed that when non-toxic dye was dropped into the mouth of the Altamaha River, it only took 5 days for it to be seen at Gray's Reef. So anything we do on land can really help or hurt Gray's Reef. We could pick up trash, keep our waters clean, don't litter, and that would help a lot.
Those are some really great suggestions, Mary. And one thing I've got to know, have you ever seen an octopus at the reef?
I haven't, but I know that we have them there. Why do you ask?
Well, I've been wondering, you know, one of those life's mysteries, I just need answers. How many tickles does it take to make an octopus laugh?
Oh, that's easy. They taught me that one in college. It takes about 10 tickles. But I'm done.
Well, do you guys know why the shark crossed the reef?
No. Why?
Well, to get to the other tide.
No.
That one wasn't as good.
For more information about any of the topics we covered today, or to submit your question that may be featured in our upcoming episodes, please email us at signer.socials@gmail.com. That's signer.socials@gmail.com.
Thank you for listening to Sapelo Nerds, a coastal science podcast brought to you by the Sapelo Island National Estuarine Research Reserve. Please check back for more episodes released each month. And we really need reviews. So, you know, leave us a couple of good ones. Really good ones.
And that's the Sapelo Sound.